Good morning. You guys, when you came in the door, somebody might have handed you one of these. And you said, what is that? That's a track. We don't see many tracks today, do we? Used to come into church and had track racks. I'm like, what happened to the tracks? Because to me, it's one of the most powerful things you can use to be a witness for Jesus Christ. When I was a young buck, many, many years ago, my wife and I rededicated our life to Christ and got involved in the church, and God just got a hold of our hearts. And I got involved in evangelism, outreach, and you name it. We go out every Monday night. We visit people. People that visit the church or people that hadn't visited the church, we would go out and make visits and share the love of Jesus, invite people to church. And we did evangelism classes. I taught faith. I taught all kinds of evangelism, the Roman Road. And I'm going to share one of them with you today. But this little track here was the first thing I learned to use. And I would take that track, because I didn't know what I was doing. Scared, nervous. But we'd take two of these, and we'd witness to someone. We'd give one to them, and we'd have one. And we'd open it up and just read it. And I was amazed how God's Holy Spirit would use this little track to lead somebody to Christ. Amen. If you've never done that, you don't understand. But if you ever do, I had a boy that went with me one time. I said, just listen to what I got to say to this couple or play with the kids, and I'm going to use these tracks. And I gave each one of those couples one of these tracks. And I sat down and went through that track, and at the end of that track, I asked them, did they understand what God's Word says? And what it took for someone to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and would they like to have that? And they said, yes. And we prayed that prayer that's in the back of this thing, and they accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. There's no other greater feeling than being part of someone coming to know Jesus Christ. It changes your life. It puts a fire in you that you didn't have. Understanding how important the gospel is and how God can use you, even when you mess it up, He still uses it because it's His word. We taught faith, forsaking all, I trust Him, forgiveness, and it's available to all people, and it's impossible for God to allow sin into hell, and you need to, the T was for turn. You had to repent from your sins and turn and change direction, and if you did, that led to the H, which was heaven. Another way that we present it. I trained hundreds of people. The faith outline and discipleship in that matter. And people would come back that evening. We'd share. And people say, I messed it up, Pastor. I got F-T. Or I got F-I-T and I didn't get the rest. But they got the message. Because it's not us. It's the Holy Spirit moving. Amen. So that's why we have to realize when we witness, it's not about us, it's about Jesus. And the greatest thing that we need right now is people to know Jesus. He's the only way. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father except through who? Him. And we got a bunch of false teaching today going on. Tim's up in the booth, and I gave him scriptures. And I told him, I said, well, half the scriptures I might not get to, another half you don't have. Because yesterday evening, God just kind of changed his direction on it. The pastor was here or Dave was here. They understand when you prepare a message to preach in this port, this is holy ground. Just like my wife said coming down the road, she prayed for me, come here. This is an honor to stand in this pulpit. And it's an honor that Pastor Justin trusts me enough to do this. And it's not to be taken lightly. And we ought to study and do our part. And it's not an easy job. You listen to David all of a sudden. He said, man, I found out what it was really like to prepare a sermon. It's hours and hours. They say the average sermon is about 20 hours to prepare. Your pastor, by vocational, works full-time job and pastors his church full-time. I don't know how he does it. I praise God for him. But it's the power of the Holy Spirit that empowers him to do what he's called to do. But we ought to appreciate him. So I was going to preach, and I had prepared a message, and I was going through Timothy. And I was in a passage in Timothy that talks about when Paul was encouraging Timothy, this young man. He's encouraging him in the ministry. Paul knew his time was limited. Paul, he's always in trouble. And the man never stops sharing the gospel. Never. He's in a dungeon. He's in a hole in a cave in the ground with a little hole on it where it's damp and wet and cold. And he's still preaching the gospel. That's convicting to me. It challenges me that the Apostle Paul, no matter what and no matter what he was going through, how bad it was, shipwrecked, beat up, bitten, whatever, he had one focus, and that was to share the good news about Jesus Christ. And he's encouraging Timothy. He encourages everybody. And that message in Timothy, if I can find it, 2 Timothy, and I'm just going to share. He reminds him, he says, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give you a spirit of fear or timidity, but a spirit of what? Power, of love, sound mind, self-control." That was going to be where my message was going to be. I was at Whataburger the other night with my wife, and we went to get a nice hamburger. Whataburger does a great job. What a burger. Love it. Got new owners now. And when I walked in the door, this young man, he was retired Navy veteran, was sharing the gospel to this guy. He was just going at it. There's 5-6 people in there. I get excited when I heard that. I look for that. I'm always running into people like that. But this guy was just sharing the love of Jesus with this guy. And the guy is listening intently. I'm listening. I'm praying, God, get a hold of his heart, please. This guy is good. He is so awesome that he's bold enough to share his faith. So he finishes and he comes, and I said, I got to go tell him. Man, I appreciate. I so thank you for sharing the message with that man. And we began a conversation. And that conversation, you could hear it in there too. People in Whataburger got more than just the burger. They got a little bit of the gospel message. See, the gospel is powerful. Amen? It changes lives. It changed my life. I'm praying for that guy. It changed his life. That's a boldness. And I left and went outside and came to the car and gave my wife, because we were dropping mine off. And the guy came out. He said, went back to, and we shared a few minutes more, and I appreciated him. And then his last words to me was this verse. In Timothy, that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and sound mind. I'm like, whoa, God, you want me to preach that? That's confirmation. But he changed gears on me. I went to Colossians. If you turn to Colossians, this was my text for today. Because what he did, he challenged me. That's a great message, that I don't have a spirit of fear. I have power. I have love. And I am to have a self-controlled mind. I am to be in control of what God wants me to do. A sound mind. What's a sound mind? My mother-in-law asked me, what is a sound mind? It's a self-controlled mind. It's a mind that's following what God wants. And we see people today running around with this spirit of fear. Never seen anything like it. People are fearful because of what we just came through the last few years. This world's messed up. It's dark, it's dirty, it's mean, it's hateful, it's filthy. It's sinful. We talked about it then. We don't understand. I get my mind every day. I'm like, people, I cannot believe you believe that. I can't believe you're doing it. I can't believe they're allowing them to get by with it. There's a spirit of lawlessness, hatred, bitterness, and they don't like Christians today. Lots of people against us. Don't like the flag. God help us. But, you know, as I think about that, the Bible says there'll be days coming like this. That what used to be considered wrong or bad becomes good, and what was good becomes bad. So Christians are bad. This is crazy. I listen to fakes. I listen to false teachers. We talk about fake politicians, fake this. Yeah, there's so many fakes out there today. But do you know what gets me more than anything? Is a fake preacher. A fake pastor that gets in a pulpit and preaches something that's not true. Listen, this is God's word. It's not mine. He's given it to me to preach from the beginning to the end. It's infallible, it's inerrant, it's all powerful. And when people start dissecting and taking it apart, I showed my wife, this Bible's falling apart. She gave this to me on our anniversary in 1990. And I tried to use it and be faithful. And I hadn't picked it up in a long time till this week. This one, it's kind of, it's falling apart. I got many more. But that's the truth. It's the truth. And I listened on the other night at Daystar. We were sitting there watching, and they were talking about Roe versus Wade being overturned. Praise God. 50 years, God did something great. But the sad thing is abortion is still going on. But I sat there and listened to several pastors that they showed preaching in the pulpit like I am right now on a Sunday morning saying, it's okay to kill. Abortion's okay. It's in the Bible. I was like, show me in the Bible where it says it's okay to kill babies. Because my Bible don't teach that. My Bible teaches that life is precious. That life begins at conception. And they're saying, no. It's okay. We're pro-choice. They're fakes. And here's the key. They're preaching that junk, and people are believing and saying it's okay. And these are people that were Christians, supposedly, saying, yeah, women's rights. How about the child? The way I interpret the Bible says that God knew me even before I was formed in my mother's womb. And he had a purpose and a plan for me. And in this country, we've killed millions. Millions. And you got people in Washington fighting against it. They don't even like what the Supreme Court said. Shame on our leaders. Every one of them need to be cleared out of that swamp. Wow. That's what's happening. It happened in Paul's day. It happened to those churches that he was writing to. There was false teaching. False doctrine. False. And we got loads of them today. You got to beware. Let me tell you something. Anybody that preaches that junk, you need to run. Everything that we do should line up with scriptures. Should line up with what Jesus had to say. Not what man has to say. I'm not having to water the gospel down because I want to fill up my church or I want to be friendly to everybody. Look. We're different from the world. If you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you've been different. You're no longer the same as the world. They're lost and going to hell, and you're going to heaven. And you need to make a stand. He says, fan that flame. Church, fan the flame what God has given you. He saved you. He set you free. Amen? And I'm going to tell you today, if you haven't been set free, I'm going to tell you how to get set free. Because when I started looking at it, and I even looked at Colossians, and I was looking at the gospel. See, we in Colossians chapter 1, he's talking about we ought to thank God for the powerful gospel. And we ought to thank him for Christians, for brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? We ought to thank him that the gospel is going across the world. And we are to thank God for the gospel that was shared to you from someone. Amen? The seeds that were planted in your life, and then the one that shared that moment with you that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The gospel is powerful. And that's why I want to share this with you, and that's why I gave you a tract. Because what God was telling me, guys, we got to get back to sharing the gospel. The only hope for this world and this country is what? Jesus. It's people getting born again. Sin is forgiven. Listen, folks, when he says, I forgive you, he forgives you from all your junk. Everything that you ever did, said, whatever it was, when you ask God to forgive you, what does he do? He says, I cleanse you from all that filth. Go sin no more. But you've been cleansed. You've been set free. What does Satan do? He comes along. No, you hadn't. He's going to pick on you. That's why I say you never give Satan nothing. He can't have nothing unless you give it to him. If you give it to him, he's going to take it and he's going to work it against you as best he can. He's mean. He's a sneaky snake. And one day he's going to be dealt with. Amen? All these fake preachers and fake things are going on. One day they're going to stand before a holy and righteous God and he'll say, depart from me. I never knew you. Do you want that in your life? Do you want one day come, well, God, I played church. I went through the process. Yeah, I know the gospel. But you never really believed and never really made him Lord of your life. You never truly surrendered your life to him and became born again. Never changed. See, the church is full of fakes. Full. Every week, they come in these doors. Satan wants to come in here and mess around. That's why we rebuke him. That's why we stand up to him. You have no power and authority over us. Thank God that you are in a church that believes this word. Thank God you have a pastor that stands upon the word of God. Sunday school teachers and leaders and worship leaders that love Jesus. Because you can go to some churches, there's a lot of fakes. There's fakes here today. I've been with many, many, many fakes. You look at them, yeah, I know Jesus, but your lifestyle is totally different. He calls us to a different standard. So with my little, I want to share with you what the gospel is. What does it mean? And I searched this stuff because I realized, and I was searching, I was looking at how many people per day die. Do you know how many people die every day? Listen to this. 1.78, almost 2 people die per second. 107 people per minute, 6,390 per hour, 56 million per year die. And they say over a lifespan of 70 years, this is 3.9 billion die. People dying all the time. And my question was, how many are dying without hope, without the gospel, without Jesus? And it's hard to determine, but a whole lot. Most of them. How many people in the world today? 8 billion? So, and they say there are 2 billion people that profess to be some type of Christianity. 2.38 billion people practice one form of Christianity globally. How many of them are Christians? How many of them other religions? I don't know. And I thought about it, how many, if this country used to be considered a Christian nation, but it's gone down, 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 down. And now we got people to profess to be atheists, agnostics, nuns. And it's growing. And I think about that, why? Is the church asleep? Probably still. I think church has been pretty much asleep for a while. Because I believe if the church was awake, we wouldn't be where we're at today in our political arena. I really believe that. And I talk to so many people. I see people that confess to be Christians, and they're pro-choice. I'm like, it doesn't register me, because I don't know how you can be pro-choice at that. And you might be mad at me right now, but I really, my heart goes out to you. Because God loves life. He loves you. Even if you've been through that process, He still loves you and still forgives you. He does that. He's amazing God. That's the power of the gospel. The gospel. That word gospel means good news, which is the message of forgiveness of sin through the atoning work of Jesus Christ. It is essentially God's rescue plan of redemption for those who will trust in His divine Son. Listen, in order to be reconciled to a just and holy God. The essential content of this saving message is laid out in Scriptures. If you turn to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, in the Apostle Paul's letter, you need to know these Scriptures. You need to know where you stand and why you believe in the gospel and what the gospel message is. If you're going to be effective in building God's kingdom, we can't be weak anymore. We got to be strong. And we can't be weak in the Word of God. We got to be strong in the Word of God. Days are getting tough, and the Word of God is your power to live by. It's not to be watered down. It says this. Apostle Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, he lays out the content of the gospel message. He said, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, and if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according to Scriptures." The message of the gospel. In this passage, there's three essential elements of the gospel message. In the first one, he says, "I died for our sins." He died for our sins. That's very important. He died for our sins, our filth. He died for it. He gave His life for us. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." And the reality of sin needs to be acknowledged by all who approach the throne of God for salvation. You must repent of your sin. You must acknowledge that. A sinner must acknowledge the hopelessness of his guilt before God in order for forgiveness to take place. Amen? And he must understand that the wages of sin is what? Death. Without this foundational truth, no gospel presentation is really complete. It's got to be dealt with. Second, the person and the work of Christ are indispensable components of the gospel. Jesus is both God. Colossians 2:9 says, "For in him dwells all the fullness of Godhead bodily." And he's also a man, the God-man, Emmanuel. John 1 says this, "And the Word became what? Flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, fully God, fully man, Jesus." God. Jesus, also, he lived this sinless life that we could never live. 1 Peter 1:22 says, "He committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth." Completely clean. And because of that, he is the only one who could die a substitutionary death for the sinner. Sin against an infinite God requires an infinite sacrifice. Therefore, either man who is finite must pay the penalty for our infinite length of time, or the infinite Christ must pay for it once. And Jesus went to the cross. Listen, when he went to the cross, he paid the debt we owe to God for our sin. And he paid it in full. Can you say, "Thank you, God"? He took your sin. He paid for it in full. He was the perfect Lamb of God. And he took it. And those who are covered by his sacrifice will inherit the kingdom of God as sons of God. As sons of the King, John 1:12 talks about. "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in what? In his name." This is the gospel. This is why it's so powerful and life-changing. And the third thing he says is the resurrection of Christ is the essential element of the gospel. The resurrection is the proof of the power of God. If it didn't happen, we have nothing. And only he who created life can resurrect it after death. And only he can reverse the hideousness that is death itself. And only he can remove the sting that is in death and the victory that is in the grave. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 again. Verse 54. "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But what? Thanks be to God. He gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Hallelujah. Do you understand? Do you get it? Unlike all religions, Christianity alone possesses a founder who transcends death and who promises that his followers will do the same. We will live for eternity. Is that good news? That's the gospel. All other religions were founded by men and prophets who are in the grave. Muhammad is dead, Buddha's dead, and you go down the list. They're not alive, but Jesus is. And that should excite you because you serve a risen Savior. And because he rose from the grave, you will live for eternity. Glory. You got a message to share? You should. And we need to share it. Christ offers his salvation. Really, look, it's a free gift. Romans 5:15 says, "But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many die, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many." Romans 6:23, you should know it. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life in Christ our Lord. It's in Jesus Christ. And it can only be received by faith. Apart from any works or any merit, you can't work for it. You can't do anything for it. I've seen people try to get in on the tailcoats of their parents or their grandparents. You can't do it. You have to make that decision to accept Christ and what the message says. You have to believe that he went to that cross and died and rose again. You have to ask him to forgive you of your sins and to come into your life and be your Lord. You, not someone else. My mama saved, so I'm okay. No, you're not. You're not saved until you give your heart to Christ and believe the message and let him cleanse you by his blood. Amen. Y'all kind of quiet. I'm kind of excited. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. Praise the Lord. It's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation, for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Isn't that good? The same inspired offer tells us in Romans 10:9, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, what happens? You will be saved. The gospel is powerful and it's very simple. We make it complicated. People run from it. They're scared of it. Don't share it with me, man. There's some Jesus freaks. I'm glad I'm a Jesus freak. I was in Lowe's. This happened this week, too. I was in Lowe's. I'm like, amazing God, how God puts. I look for it, though. The lady at the checkout, she was a little upset because she's always praising God. And she's thanking God. And I went over, I'm like, God is good, isn't he? She said, yes, he is. She said, but I just had a guy that just scared me. He professed to be an atheist, and he told me I was a crazy Christian. I was one of those people. And she said, yeah, I am one of those people. I'm a born-again person. I love Jesus, and he loves you. Oh, y'all, there is no God. There's no Jesus. And she said, he really freaked me out because the way he was going at her. But as we began to sit there at that cash register, she began to share. I could see the light just shining, beaming off on her. She needed encouragement. I needed encouragement because she still was bold. But she was sharing the good news in ways. There's all kinds of ways to share. Amen. But she was being a light, but she came under attack just because she mentioned the name of Jesus. You know, I don't understand this because they don't like that name, Jesus. Can't pray in Jesus' name, can't do anything in Jesus' name. I'm like, why? You can do everything else in anybody else's name. Not Jesus. It's threatening. And you can't stop it, though. It's been there for 2,000 years, and they still can't stop it. And they will never stop it. They can storm the gates at Lowe's. They can do whatever they want it up in Washington, and they can do whatever they want, but they're not going to storm the gates of heaven. One gate they're going to get through is called hell. Because when you reject God, and you reject the gospel, you reject Jesus Christ and what he did for you on the cross, and you don't believe that and put your trust in him, you're headed straight to hell. You hear anybody preach on hell anymore? Fire, brimstone? I think we need to get back to it. I watched this week again. If you watch Flashpoint on Daystar Christian, we have Christian networks, you know that. We watch them all the time. I love watching preachers and stuff. There's a group called Flashpoint. They're fighting for our rights. They're preaching the gospel during the revivals. They did Mario Morello did a, he was doing a tent revival. Tent revival is coming back. I love tent revivals. He's doing a tent revival in Colorado, showing this. And he's just preaching the gospel. He said, I'm just preaching the simple message, just like Billy Graham did, preaching Jesus and what people need to do to come to know Christ. And they had a tent that seated like 3,000. They had 3,500. They had thousands more outside the tent. And they were preaching the gospel. And he said, at the end, he gave an invitation. Anyone, if you understand what I just said and preached, and you'd like to have know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and ask him into your heart to be your God, be your Lord and Savior, raise your hand. And they're showing this on TV, and all over the auditorium, hundreds were raising their hands. It blew his mind. And I was like, praise God. At that moment, a storm had come up, pouring down rain. And as he gave the invitation, the storm stopped. And outside that tent, as big as it was, God put rainbow all over that, all the way around that tent. It was a double, but the guy that took the picture only caught the first, the one. And it was just amazing. It's like God said, put a stamp of approval on that. But I thought about how people were getting saved in Colorado. What a place that needs Jesus, amen? And they've taken that all over America. Then I watched a young man, I can't remember his name. He's got long hair, he sings, and he's been doing revivals even through the pandemic in Portland and California, Washington, D.C. He's been fined. He want to throw him in jail. He's had his equipment from Antifa and them destroy it when he came in, but he never stopped preaching the gospel. And thousands have come. But you know why? They want to hear the truth. The truth will set you free. These young lives coming, praising God in worship and song, and then listening to the gospel, and their lives are being changed. That's a whole lot better than burning a city down. Amen? That's what needs to happen. But Satan's in the middle of it working too. But that's the importance of the gospel, guys. It's important. Because God has given us the remedy. He has provided the way for us to have a relationship with him. He's provided the message of the gospel. And I don't have time. I wanted to share the gospel. That's what I have in here. I have it marked. And I used it many times and taught it how to use the Roman road. Just going through scripture saying this is what God says and it takes you to the next one. And this is how you get saved. This is what Jesus can do for you. This is what he has done for us. And we need to thank him. As it says in Colossians, thank him for the powerful gospel. Thank him for the work that's going on around us to share the gospel. Thank him for the people that share the gospel for yourself and for others. And thank him that it's gone worldwide. Missionary, we have, you know, as Southern Baptists, you're part of a Southern Baptist Conservative Church. Hallelujah. We have like 5,000 full-time missionaries that we support with our giving. People say, oh, that's all the church wants, money. No. God don't need your money. He don't even need you. But out of love for him and for the gospel message to grow his kingdom, we do that. We support the ministry. We support these missionaries. to go and share the gospel. Let me ask you something. Where are you sharing the gospel? Where are you taking it? Do the people that you know that you are a Christian? Do they know it at work? Are you fearful of them say anything? They might fire me. They might condemn me. They might run me out the door. They might call me names. You know, if they call you that and do that, then thank God that you're different from them. Thank God that you have a relationship with Him. Thank Him for the power of the gospel that changed your life. I gave you that track at the beginning so you could share it with somebody. That you could take it and read it yourself. Maybe you need to give Christ your life today. Maybe you've been playing church. Maybe you've been playing I'm a believer. Maybe you're fake. Let me tell you, today is the day of salvation. Today, because people are leaving every second. We've had a lot of friends die. And now we're seeing more and more young people die for reasons I don't want to even get into right now. Heart attacks after heart attacks after heart attacks. It's crazy. If you die without Jesus, you're lost and you'll spend eternity in hell. If you die and you're saved and you've given your heart to Christ and you believe what the Word says, you believe that He went to that cross and died for you, we're going to remember that this morning, this afternoon. But if you believe that, you're guaranteed of heaven. The people around you need to hear the gospel. We need to teach it more. You need to know the scriptures, and I'll give them to you. I'll give you a tract. I'll give you anything you need. There's so many ways, but you need to understand the message of the good news, and you need to be able to share it with people. They need to know why you believe what you believe. They'll question you. And you need to be able to share, and you need to do it in a loving, caring manner because they are lost. If we're going to make a difference, church, we have to rise up and fan the flame. We have to be evangelistic. Your pastor has a heart to make disciples of Christ. Praise God, because that's what we're called to do in the Great Commission. We are to win the lost, and we are to make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is our responsibility as believers, not just Pastor Justin. Every one of you that are a member of the church or a child of God, you have a responsibility to share the gospel, the good news, and make disciples. There are people that are babes in Christ that need somebody to come alongside of them and share the gospel and the message and disciple them. I praise God for those who share with me. I praise God for those who have discipled me and continue to do that. What a blessing to have somebody to pour into your life to help you through the journey. As imperfect as always we are, but we have things that we are to use for the glory of God. We have gifts and talents. Raymond said about it, we got places in the church that people need to serve. You have a gift. You have a talent and ability is to be used in the kingdom. You're not just to come and take and sit on your laurels. Get busy doing something for Jesus. I guarantee you, you'll be blessed. Develop relationships. That's what church is about. When you get saved, you come and be part of a church. You join the church. You get into Bible study. You get into discipleship. You get into serving, giving. You're blessed. I have people all the time. They tell me, you got some great friends. I'm like, if you just have five godly friends that love you and that are there for you, you are blessed. Because so many people I know don't have anybody. Get saved. And if you're not saved today, today is the day. Listen to me. I'll close. back of this little pamphlet I gave you. It says on page 10, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Simply asking God in your life. I want you to bow your heads. I'm going to pray this prayer. And if you are not a believer and you want to come to Christ, I want you to pray this. If you're a believer and you're here today, I want you to pray with me. I want you to repeat this, if you don't mind. Listen and say, "Lord Jesus, I need you. I'm willing to turn from my sin. I believe you died on the cross to take away my sins. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Take control of my life and make me into the kind of person you want me to be. Thank you, Jesus." If you did that for the first time and you meant it, you're a child of God. God comes in, takes up residence, His Holy Spirit, and the process begins. Your attitude, your wants and needs, it changes. I'm not coming to you, my God, give up everything. I'm not telling you to give up anything. When you get God in your heart, your love and your life changes because of the power of the Holy Spirit in you. Things get greater. You're heaven bound, you're in. You need to share that with someone. You need to come and share it with me. I'll pray with you. You need to join the church. You need to get baptized out of obedience and then down the road. But share the gospel, people. If you need more tracts, share the gospel. This Bill and the guys come up. When you become a child of God, your life has changed. And scriptures teach us that we are to remember what Christ has done for us. That we are to remember the body that was broken and given for us, Jesus Christ. We are to remember the blood that was shed for our sins. We are to remember that. And remember that we are under the new covenant of grace and blood. Amen. Amen. We're not under the old laws, praise the Lord, but we're under grace. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Everything. All of His promises, everything that He has is at our disposal. All His resources, everything. When He died for us, He forgave us our sins. Listen, we hold on to sins. Release those sins to Him and leave it there. We tend to come to an altar, we come before Him and we pick it back up and run out the door with it. Did you really repent? No, you picked it up and took it with you. If you repent, leave it to Him. He says, "I cleanse you. White as snow. Remembers no more. Let it go." People might throw it in your face, but that's just Satan trying to beat you up. Say, "No, I've been cleansed by the blood." Amen? And thank Him for it. As we do this morning, First Corinthians, it tells us, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it, and He said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do also remembrance me.' In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, 'The cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whoever, whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. This is his body. He gave it for you. He loves you that much. He took the bread. He said, "This is my body, which was broken for you." And he broke it. And as they give it out, I'm going to pray. Father, thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you, God, for loving us, that you gave your all for all of us, that we could have life eternally and abundantly. Sacrificed your body and your blood for us. We thank you. Thank you, Lord. Say thank you, Lord, for what you did for me. In Jesus' name, take and eat.